to tell you that I have a favorite author, or one of them. His name is Frederick Buechner. He's a novelist, an American novelist, and a Presbyterian minister, lives in Vermont. And I was very influenced by a sermon that he gave. I don't know where, but I have a collection called Emmanuel. So I've been influenced by that and in what follows. Paul the Apostle wrote in one of the very earliest writings in the New Testament, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Greeks." He could just as easily have said, "We preach Christmas," because the problems with the birth are as great as the problems with the death for religious people, that is Jews, in Paul's words, and for everybody else, that is Gentiles. Christmas, as you surely would expect me to say tonight, is not just Dickens' Christmas Carol, or a visit from Santa Claus, or even the most famous birthday of all, or even a chance once a year to speak of a dream of peace on earth. On the contrary, if you do not hear the message of Christmas, and hear in that message something that will strike you, some of you as blasphemy, and others as complete fantasy, then the chances are that you have not heard the message of Christmas. Emmanuel is the message, which is Hebrew for God is with us. Now the question is, who is this God, and how is he with us? God is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, says Isaiah the prophet, and there would be little disagreement from most of the major faiths of the world. Judaism calls God Yahweh. Islam calls him Allah. Buddhism and Hinduism speak of the void or the one. Whatever term or name is used for God, God is seen as transcendent, above and beyond, totally other than we are. And all faiths speak of our inability to comprehend the ultimate reality that we call God. He is not this and he is not that, is the famous definition from the Hindu sacred writings. The Hebrew Bible uses narrative to say something similar. When Moses asks to see God, God says, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." The common experience of humanity is of an infinite distance between themselves and this mysterious reality that we call God. And when we ponder the vastness of the universe, or when we consider our own existence and our inevitable death, we have no words. Or perhaps we say like Job, "Behold, I am of small account. I lay my hand on my mouth. I have uttered things which I did not understand." Now that's not all, of course, that is said about God. We would have none of the world's great faiths if we stopped with that. It is claimed that God makes himself known through the world of nature. Where nature is beautiful and benevolent, people have seen God's love. And when it is harsh and destructive, his wrath. In the order of nature, they have seen God as a lawgiver. And when the order is interrupted, they call it a miracle. And likewise, God can be discerned in history, showing favor to nations or censure to others. In the religions of the book, so-called, that is Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, God sends prophets and saints, even angels. And Eastern religions have their great teaching Buddhas. All traditions have their mystics, through whom God makes himself known as they turn their attention inward and they encounter God there. That, we could say, is as close as we get to God. Now back to the real message of Christmas, which is Emmanuel, God with us. So who is this God, and how is God with us? The high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity, who has made himself known partially through nature and history, through the words of prophets and saints and mystics, is the answer to the first question. It is the answer to the second question that seems foolishness to Gentiles and a stumbling block to Jews, because of the claim that Christians make for Christmas is that when Augustus was emperor, when Herod was the king, and when Quirinius was governor of Syria in a town called Bethlehem, a child was born, a child who was the high and lofty one made helpless. The one who inhabits eternity comes to dwell in time. The one whom none can look upon and live is delivered in a stable under the soft, indifferent gaze of cattle. Now, for some, it is sheer blasphemy that one could claim that God would be so diminished. For those who do not believe in God, it is the ultimate absurdity. And for all of us, it challenges our ideas of what is possible and what is real. What if God were one of us? Sang Joan Osborne a few years ago. The Christian claim that we make at Christmas is that God is one of us. He has come to share our life in a way that simply staggers the imagination. He has entered our mortal existence in all its dimensions of regret and failure and heartbreak, disgrace, and ultimately even death. And once we have seen him in a stable, we can never be sure where we will see him, or to what length he will go, or to what depths of humiliation he will descend to save the world. If in the birth of a peasant's child, holiness and the power and the majesty of God were present, there's no place and there's no time that holiness and the presence of God cannot be there too. Where he seems most helpless, he is most strong. Now we know, wrote the great theologian Karl Barth, for God it is just as certain that he will be small as that he will be great, that he will be low as that he will be high, that he will be away as that he will be at home. Now, with the mention of all those names, Caesar Augustus and Herod the king and Quirinius the governor, perhaps beyond the impulse of the historian that he was, Luke wanted to say, in the midst of a depressing, despairing time of oppression, in the face of a ruthless tyrant like Herod and a would-be god like Caesar, look what happened. Look what God did in the midst of a worst possible scenario. Life was difficult, difficult beyond belief, as it is agonizingly difficult for so many in our time. But look what God did then, and look what God still does, and look what God can do. There was no time for a child to be born in a land in the crushing grip of Rome. Honor and truth were trampled by scorn, yet here did the Savior make his home. When is the time for love to be born? The inn is full on planet Earth, and by greed and pride the sky is torn, yet love still takes the risk of birth, wrote the poet Madeleine L'Engle. In the midst of the worst possible days of our lives, God still comes to us. Only a few days ago, our son Stephen told me of his first Christmas when he was teaching in Korea. He was lonely and unwell, and wanting nothing more than just to be at home. And a card arrived from someone who had never sent him a card before and has never sent him a card since. And 2 days later, he got an email from a cousin, to this date, the only email he's ever received from him. Coincidences or evidence of a loving God who works through people with pen and paper and technology to speak his love and to make his presence known anywhere, anytime. Scattered throughout this sanctuary are those who are sitting alone, perhaps for the very first time this Christmas. Elsewhere, there are those who are together, but perhaps barely holding it together. And still elsewhere sit those people who sense that it might be their very last Christmas. And it's not spoken aloud, but they know it. You see, in the midst of the worst possible days, God comes. He came, and he still comes. The same Madeleine L'Engle who wrote the poem I quoted wrote in her memoir after the death of her husband from a very painful form of cancer, "It is when things go wrong, when good things do not happen, when our prayers seem to have been lost, that God is most present. We do not need the sheltering wings when things are going smoothly. We are closest to God in the darkness, stumbling along blindly." In the dark days of Herod and Caesar, in an out-of-the-way village to a peasant couple far from home, in a stable among the beasts, a child is born and nothing is ever the same again. Whether you believe it or you do not believe, your date book, your computer screen, and perhaps even your watch will tell you how many years have gone by since what happened. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, says the prologue to John's Gospel. And if it wasn't true, says Buechner, it is of all the truths, the one perhaps that people would most have to be true if they could make it so. A few years ago, Meg Greenfield wrote in Newsweek, "The non-Christian world envies and covets Christmas, wants to participate in it, is forever seeing just how close it can come to this particular experience without threatening the imperatives of its own religion. The non-Christian world is bent on universalizing the reach of Christmas." You see, it's the hope, the joy, and the promise of peace that we all want. But it's all wrapped up with Emmanuel. We must all decide for ourselves whether it's true. I know that it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe in any age. And when we're facing an ecological crisis and an economic meltdown is a real threat, when science is king, it's hard to believe. The Christmas story seems to have no place with its angels and its shepherds and its wise men and star. We're too grown up for fables. But history is mainly the story of our persistence in following any God but this surprising God, the one who came to be with us. The God of power, the God of might, the God of right, of one ideology after another, capitalism, communism, ordinary greed, race, even family. These are the things that have been for us lofty and lifted up, to whom we have given our allegiance. And this is the mess that we've made of the world as we followed these gods. In the bleak midwinter, as the carol says, earth stood hard as iron, and God came in Jesus to break the world open to new possibilities, to give us a new beginning. That's why the New Testament calls him the second Adam. So the story could begin again, so we could see in the flesh what living in relationship with this God of infinite generosity and love would look like. It seems to me that even scrubbed of all this understanding, have you noticed how Christmas touches even the least religious with a moment of fellowship and peace? And it moves many a Scrooge to a moment of truth. Can you just imagine if we opened our lives to this gift of God, Emmanuel, so that his light really shone in and through us? There would be no end to our generosity, no strings attached to our love, and the life of another would be just as precious to us as our own. This is God's dream for the world. This is the reason for Christmas. This is why he came to be God with us. So may Christ be born in you and in me today. Amen.